B'siyata d'shmai, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Nun. We're going to start five lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Tes Omud Beis. The Gemara starts Begizei Tzemer Ve'ein Metaltelin. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes Omud Aleph that Toimnin B'shlochim, one is allowed to insulate a pot with hides, with skins, or metaltelin oison, and they are not mukta. Begizei Tzemer, you're allowed to put a pot into the wool shearings, ve'ein metaltelin oison, but you're not allowed to carry them. And the way we understood the Mishnah was that they are mukta, even though you're allowed to put a pot into the wool themselves remain mukta. And then the Mishnah continues, ketzad oisa, if the wool is mukta, how can you take the pot out? And the Gemara, and the Mishnah explains it. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, Loi shonu elo shaloi toman bohen, aval toman bohen metaltelin oison. Rava has a very interesting reading in the Mishnah. Rava says that the Mishnah reads like this, Toimnin etc. begizei tzemer, that you're allowed to do hatmono with gizei tzemer, one halacha. Another halacha regarding gizei tzemer on Shabbos is ve'in metaltelin oison, that they are mukta. However, in the event that you did hatmona with the gizei tzemer, they've now been designated, so to speak, for something mutter, for insulating a pot, and therefore they are no longer mukta. They're only mukta if you did not do hatmona in them. That's how Rava initially understood the Mishnah. There was one of the chachomim on the first day that he was in that Beis HaMedrash, and he asked Rava, from our Mishnah, we saw in the Mishnah, Toimnin begizei tzemer ve'ein metaltelin oison, and the Mishnah continues, Ketzadu oisa. Since the wool is mukta ein metaltelin, how are you going to take the pot out? And the Mishnah says, Noiteles akisu ve'ein noifles, you can remove the lid and let the wool shearings fall down, and etc., as we saw in the Mishnah, and we'll see later in the Gemara more details. But you see there clearly that the wool shearings are mukta even after he's put the pot inside them. And that seems to be contrary to what Rava just said. Elo I itmar hochi itmar. What Rava said is not that by want doing atmono it's already not mukta, as we saw lekatchila. No. Omar Rava lo yishonu elo shelo yichadon latmono, that it will remain mukta unless you are yichadon. If you designate, you reserve these wool shearings from now and forever, they have been designated to be used for hatmona. Not that once I did hatmona in them. No, they were yichadon latmona. In that case, it's if you didn't do that, then it stays mukta, like it says in the Mishnah, ein metaltelin. Aval yichadon latmona, if you designated them from now on to be used for hatmona, metaltelin oison, they are no longer mukta, and you're allowed to move them regularly on Shabbos. Itmar nami, ki also rovin omer Rabbi Yaakov omer Rabbi Asi, ben Shaul omer Rebbe, or said in the name of Rebbe, lo yishonu elo shelo yichadon latmona, the only time that the wool shearings remain mukta is if you were not meyachid them for hatmona, aval yichadon latmona, metaltelin oison, they are no longer mukta. Continues the Gemara, Ravina omer, Ravina argues with Rava, and he says that the Mishnah that says that their mukta is talking about Bashel Hefsek, it's talking about a warehouse, and the wool in the warehouse is designated to be sold, is used l'schayra, and therefore it's mukta. However, if they're not wool shearings in a warehouse, just the regular shearings in a person's home that he's using for hatmona, even if he just did hatmona once in them, they are already not mukta. The Mishnah is not talking about that case. The Mishnah is talking about the wool in a warehouse where indeed they remain mukta, even if you did hatmona. Tanina mihochi, we saw a brisa to this effect. Gizei tzemer shel hefsek, the wool shearings that are found in the warehouse, ein metaltelin oison, they remain mukta. Veim hiskinon balabayis lishtamish behen, but if the owner prepared them to use them for something which is not mukta, which is something which is mutter on Shabbos, metaltelin oison, they are no longer mukta and they can be used. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbi Bar Bar Chono kamei de Rav. Rabbi Bar Bar Chono said in front of Rav the following. Charoyos shel dekel branches of a date palm, shegodron le'etzim. He harvested them in order to be used for firewood. V'nimlach, and he changed his mind, aleihen, li'yeshiva. And he changed his mind on them, and from now he intended using these branches as a bench to sit on. Tzorich le'kashir. The Tanakhama here say, it's not enough that you changed your mind. You have to do something to prove that that's indeed what they're being designated for. And therefore, if you start tying these branches together in a form that shows that they are now used for sitting on, that's enough and they are no longer muktza. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel argues with those Tanakhama and says, Ein tzorich lekasher. It's not necessary to do a maisa and to tie them. Rather, it's enough if you just intended, you just had machshava that from now on, I'm not going to use these branches for firewood, I'm going to use them for sitting on. His intentions are enough. Hu tonilo, Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, he brought this brisa, he said this brisa in front of Rav, v'hu amar lo, and he added on, after mentioning this brisa, he says, halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that it's not necessary to be miyachid by doing a maisa, an action, it's enough to have intentions. Itmar, Rav Omar Kosher, Rav holds that you have to actually tie the branches in order for them to become not mukta. Shmuel Omar Choshev, Shmuel says it's enough that you intended to designate them for sitting on. Rav Ashi Omar, a third opinion, Rav Ashi says, Yoshav, if you just sat on them once, Afal Pi Shaloi Kishir, even though he didn't start tying them together, V'Afal Pi Shaloi Kishiv, even though he did not even intend to use this as a bench, as a chair, something to sit on Shabbos. He just sat on these branches before Shabbos. Without any further thought or action, it's already enough, and they are no longer muktzah. Says the Gemara, Bishlei Merav, the opinion of Rav, we know which Tana he's following. Hu de'omer ketanakama. He says, like the Tanakama we saw in the Braisa before, that tzorich lekasher, you have to tie them. It has to be an act, an action, in order to prove that it's no longer muktzah. We understand that Shmuel is following the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. It's enough just to think about it, to designate it in one's mind. Elo Rav Asi, Da'omar Kaman. Rav Asi says that if you just used it once for something that would be muta on Shabbos, you used it in that way before Shabbos, it's already not mukta. Who does he follow? It, not the Tanakhama and not Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Says the Gemara, Hu de Omar ki hai Tana. There's a third Tana in a Braisa, which we're about to see, and he followed that Tana, the Tana we learnt in a Braisa. Yoitzin bepakirin, a person is allowed to go out of his house on Shabbos when he's wrapped around a wound he has on his, somewhere on his body. If he wrapped the wound with pakirin, which is combed flax, ubetzipa or combed wool, on one condition, bizman shetzov on bashemen, if he dipped in the pikirin or the tzipa, if he dipped it into oil, v'korchon b'meshicha, and or, it's a discussion in the Mefarshim, and he tied it onto his foot with a string, in that case he's allowed to go out with it, and it's not called he's carrying, it's called a beged. It's no different to any other garment, and the reason is because the reason that he's putting these pekirin or tzipa over his wound is in order that his garments should not rub against the wound and cause him pain. And since he's appropriately using the pekirin and the tzipa to protect his wound from his clothes, and therefore he's allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, it's not called carrying. However, loy tzav on bashemen, if he did not dip them into the oils, v'loy korchon b'meshicha, and did not tie them on with a string, since they do not sufficiently protect his wound from being aggravated by his clothes, because these pekirin and tzipa themselves are going to aggravate the wound since they have not been dipped into the oil and they're not tied with a string, and therefore you're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. It's not called a beged, it's called a masui. It's called that you're carrying something. It happens to be that it's covering a wound, but you're carrying it, you're not allowed to carry it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. V'im yotzo behen sho achas mibo'id yoim, if on any time before Shabbos he went out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with this pekirin or tzipor that's not been dipped into oil and is not tied with a string, if he went out with it once before Shabbos, afal pi sheloy tzava, even though he did not dip it into oil, veloy karchon b'mashicha, and he did not tie it with a string, muta lotzeis behen, the very fact that he did with it before Shabbos, something that he wants to do again on Shabbos, it's called that he's dedicated it for that thing, and he's allowed to continue doing it on Shabbos. And the Gemara compares this to the case of Mukta, where Yichadon, according to Rav Asi, it's enough if he used it for something that's not Mukta before Shabbos. And he says that he's following this Tana that says that as long as he did it once, he went out once before Shabbos with this, with these Pekirin or Tzipa around his wound, it's enough to allow him to go out with it on Shabbos, even though he did not do the actions needed to make it to receive the status of a beged. It obviously remains to be understood, how can we compare the two halachas? There's one thing, yichadon for mukta, and there's another thing, is it called a beged or a masoi for hoitzah on Shabbos? And Tosfos addresses that, and Tosfos says that even though the halacha that we just saw in the Braisa seems to be addressing carrying on Shabbos, it's obviously also addressing mukta. These pekirin and the tzipa, if they've not been prepared for something that we're going to call a beged, then besides for the fact that it's also to carry it in Rishus HaRabim, even in Rishus HaYochid, you're not allowed to touch it because it's not called a beged. It's mukta. And since it says here that if you just used it once during the day, then you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos, it's not only a halacha in Hoitzah, it's telling us that we see it's no longer mukta. Why is it no longer mukta? Because he used it once on Erev Shabbos. And that's the proof to Rav Asi that just using it once on Erev Shabbos for something which would be mutar on Shabbos, even if it was no yichadon b'machshava and no yichadon b'maisa, nonetheless, it's mutar, and that's the proof. Continues the Gemara. Omar Ravashi, Af Anan Nami Tanina, we also learnt in our Mishnah, in a Mishnah, Hakash Shal Gabe Amita. And this is a Mishnah later on in Davkuf Mem Aleph, that if somebody had straw sprung out on his bed, and straw would typically be mukta, unless you dedicate it for animal food, or you dedicate it to be used as a mattress to sleep on, but if it's just straw as it is on its own, is mukta on Shabbos. Rashi says the reason it's mukta is because straw is typically used either to make bricks or to burn, and therefore they're mukta. So akash al gabi mita, lo yunanenu biyodo. If you want to sleep on them on Shabbos, or if you want to move them away, you know, if it's just a pile heaped up on a bed, it's very uncomfortable, you can't lie on them, then you want to move them, you're not allowed to move them with your hand. Elo menanui begufoi, he can wriggle around in them with some other part of his body in order to straighten out, to smoothen out his bed, because that way he's not touching the mukta in a regular way. Aval imhoya machal behema, if before Shabbos it started being used as animal fodder, oishahoya olov, or if he used it as a bed, if he lay on it with a pillow and a cover, a mattress, whatever it is, a kar and a sadin, a pillow and a sheet on the straw from before Shabbos, just by virtue of the fact that he lay on it once, it's already menanea biyodoi, he's allowed to move it with his hands, it's no longer mukta. Shma mino, this is another proof to Rav Asi that even though he didn't intend in his mind to designate this straw from now on to be used as a mattress, nor did he do a maisa, he just used it once before Shabbos as a bed, therefore it's already no longer mukta. Continues the Gemara. We saw in a braisa before that Rabbi Bar Chana said in front of Rav, the halacha of the charoyos shel dekel, the branches of the date palm, shegodron le'itzim, he initially harvested them to be used as firewood, and he changed his mind and he wants to use them now to sit on, then the Tanakama say, tzorech lekasher, he has to do a maisa, he has to do an action to prove that he's actually using it from now on to sit on. And Rav Shem ben Gamliel argued and said, you do not need an action, it's enough that you had a thought, a machshava, to designate them for sitting on. Asks the Gemara, Uman Tana de Paligoleo de Rabshem ben Gamliel, who is the Tanakama who says that you have to do a maisa? Reb Chanina ben Akiva. This Tana is Reb Chanina ben Akiva. Tichi Oser Reb Dimi, Omar Zeiri, Omar Reb Chanina. When Reb Dimi came, he said in the name of Zeiri, in the name of Reb Chanina, that Pamachas Holav Reb Chanina ben Akiva Lemokim Echod. Reb Chanina ben Akiva once went to some place, Umotso Charoyes Shel Dekel, and he found some branches of a palm, She Godrum L'Shem Eitzim, that were harvested to be used for firewood. V'omar Lehem L'Talmidov, and he said to his Talmidim, Tzu v'chishvu, go out and in your mind intend to designate these branches kadesh neshiv aleim lemochar, in order that tomorrow on Shabbos we'll be able to sit on them and they will not be mukta. And Zeiri now said, v'lo yodano, I don't remember, I don't know, I beis hamishta hava, if that Friday, if that erev Shabbos was, they were busy with the beis hamishta, with the suda, I beis avol hava, or if it was a home where they were mourning, and therefore it was not possible for them to start tying the branches together, and therefore he allowed them to just think and designate it in their mind, be yichadon, in their mind, that tomorrow on Shabbos they would be used to sit on. And mida ka'omar, I beis hamishta hava, I beis avol hava, and since Zeiri made it clear that it was talking about that they were very, very otherwise occupied, and therefore could not tie the branches, and it would therefore suffice just to think about the Yichadon, it's clear that Dafka Beis HaOvel or Beis HaMishta, only in the case of either a Beis HaOvel or a Beis HaMishta, the Tridi, where they're occupied, Aval Hocha, but a regular Erev Shabbos, a regular person, who could theoretically tie them on Erev Shabbos, Koshar in, only if he actually tied them, he did the action of Yichadon before Shabbos, then they lose their status of Muktzah, Loi koshar, but if he did not tie them, loi, we do not say they lose the title of muktzah, and they are muktzah on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Yehuda, machnis odom meloi kuposoi ofor, a person is allowed to take a basket full of earth from outside. Earth would typically be muktzah on Shabbos. He's allowed to bring it in before Shabbos. And he can use it for all his needs. If he wants to cover some mess, some spit, some saliva, whatever it is, on the floor, he's allowed to use it. It's not muktzah on Shabbos. Dorash marzutra mishmeidu marzutra rabba. Marzutra said in the name of marzutra rabba, v'hu sheyiched loy keren zovis. That's on condition that he didn't just pour the earth before Shabbos into the middle of the room, because then it's just become part of the floor that people will trample on, and it's obviously going to be muktzah. Like any earth on the floor is muktzah. But if you made it a pile, you designated a corner in the home for this earth, and you poured it in that corner, then we can assume that he's piled it up in order to use it for his needs over Shabbos, and therefore it's not muktzah. Omer Rabbanon Kameda Rav Papa. So the Chachomim said to Rav Papa, Keman, this halacha of Rav Yehuda that says that you can bring in the earth and then use it on Shabbos, it's not mukta. Who's he holding like? Krebel Shimon ben Gamliel. He must be following Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that just thinking about it and assuming that and deciding that you want to use it on Shabbos for something that's not mukta, that it already remains not mukta on Shabbos. De'ikar Abonon, because according to the Tanakhama, but Inon Maisa, you need to do an action. And just putting it in the corner is not an action. It's dedicating a place for it, but it's not as if you've done something with it. It's not the beginning of using it in a way that's muta on Shabbos. That's how the Tosfos Rosh explains this. And since it's not Yichadon B'Maisa, it must be following Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, not the Chachomim. Omalu Rav Papa. Rav Papa responded to this Rabbonon, Afilotem Rabbonon. It could be that even the Rabbonon in the Braisa of the branches of the palm would agree here. Why? Ad kanoikum Rabbonon debeinon Maisa. When do the Chachomim in the Braisa say that you need to do a Maisa in order for it to lose the title of Mukta? Ela b'midi debar avida be Maisa. Only on something that you're able to do a Maisa with. But something, avol midi de lav bar mevet be maisa, but something like earth, that you can't, there's no way of starting to use it before Shabbos. There's no way of doing a yichad be maisa. Loi, the Chachomim will agree that you do not need a maisa. It's enough that you put it aside and you intend to use it for something mutar on Shabbos, and it's no longer mukta on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Neimu Ketanoi. This concept that we just brought now, that something that you cannot do a Maisa with, you do not need a Maisa to be Yichadon, and you can be Yichadon b'machshova, even according to those who say that you do need a Maisa when you can do a Maisa, that seems to be a Machlokes Tanoim. Because we learned, Bakoil Chofin Esakelim, you're allowed to rub vessels, utensils, with any substance you want on Shabbos, Chutz Miklei Kesef B'Gartkoin. You're not allowed to rub very soft silver kelim with a substance called Gartkoin, because rubbing it with this substance would scrape it smooth, and smoothing on Shabbos is Asa, it's a Melacha of Mamachik. Ho Neser V'Choil, but using either Neser, a type of chemical, or sand, Mutter. You're allowed to rub kelim, even silver kelim, with Neser and sand on Shabbos, because they do not scrape the silver vessel, the silver kli, and they do not smooth it out. Ask the Gemara V'Otani, we learned in another Braisa, Neser V'Choil Osor. You're not allowed to use Neser V'Choil on Shabbos. My love, says the Gemara, we assume, B'Hokamifligi, the two Braises, this is what they're arguing about. The Marosovar, the Braisa that says that Neser V'Choil Osor, but Inon Maisa, they say the reason you're not allowed to use Neser V'Choil is not because of Mamachik, it's because of Mukta. And since the Neser and Choil is Mukta, and there's no Maisa, there is no Maisa you can do with Neser and Choil before Shabbos, and you didn't do a Maisa, it remains Mukta. Or Marasovan, the first Braisa that says it's Mutta, says Leibo Inon Maisa. The first Braisa says that since it's not possible to do a Yichadon b'Maisa, you do not need a Yichadon with a Maisa, and we assume that he was Miyachad it with his Machshova, and therefore it's not Mukta. So the argument between the two Braisas is in this very issue, where if you have something that you cannot be Miyachad with a Maisa, and you just have Machshova, is that enough? Or do you need a Maisa? It seems to be a Machlokes between the two Braisas. Says the Gemara Loi. It could be everybody agrees, like we said before, that if you cannot do a Maisa, you do not need a Maisa, it's enough to be Yichadon with Machshova. If so, the two Braises here that are arguing whether you can use Neser V'Choil on Shabbos or not, it's clearly not an issue of Mukta. So what's the issue? Says the Gemara V'Loi Kashya. Horeb Yehuda V'Horeb Shimon. We're talking that they're arguing in Hilchas Mamachik. Horeb Yehuda do Omar Dovash Ein Miskavin Osur. Horeb Shimon do Omar Dovash Ein Miskavin Mutter. Even regarding Neser and Choil, theoretically it could cause the silver kalim to be get rubbed down and get smoothed. But it doesn't have to. And even if it does, he doesn't want it to. He doesn't intend to smooth the kli. He just wants to rub the kli clean. So it's a machlekas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, as we've seen a number of times, he says that Dovah She'enim Miskaven is Osa. He says you may not use Neser and Choil because you may unintentionally do the Malacha of Mamachik, of smoothing down. Rabbi Shimon says Dovah She'enim Miskaven is Mutter, and therefore using Neser and Choil, where even if it happens, you don't want it to happen, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. And Rashi says, if so, why does Reb Shimon say in the Braisa that says that Neser and Choil is Osir, is Mutter, sorry, says that you're not allowed to use Gartkoin? And we said this Braisa is Reb Shimon. If the Braisa is Reb Shimon and he holds Dovosh Ein Miskaven is Mutter, why are you not allowed to use Gartkoin? So Rashi says, because with Gartkoin, it's inevitable, it's certain that it's going to get smoothed down, and something that's definitely going to be doing a Melocha, even if you don't want to do the Melocha, but it's clear and definite you'll do the Melocha, it's called Psik Reisha, and therefore even Reb Shimon agrees that it's Osa on Shabbos. The words Psik Reisha V'lo Yomus, which are used very often in Hilchas Shabbos, are literally translated, is it possible to cut off a chicken's head and it won't die? It, as certain as cutting off a chicken's head will kill it, if a malacha is that certain it's going to be done, like using Gartkoin and rubbing a silver kli, which is very soft and easily influenced by scrubbing down, it'll get smoothed down, and therefore it's a psik reisha, and therefore Reb Shimon will agree that it's osa. Continues the Gemara. B'mai ukimta lahad shari. Reb Shimon. The Braisa that says that you're allowed to use Neser and Choyl, it's Muta on Shabbos, Reb Shimon. We just now said it follows Reb Shimon. Eima Seifa, but the end of that very same Braisa, it says, Avaloi Yochif Behem Saro, you're not allowed to rub your own hair with Neser and Choyl. Why? Because you may unintentionally pull out some hairs, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara of E, Reb Shimon, Mishra Koshari. If it's Reb Shimon, it should be mutter to use Neser and Choyl to rub your own hair with it. Why did none? We learned in the Mishnah, a Nozir that's also not allowed to pull out his hair or cut his hair even during the week, nothing to do with Shabbos. Choyfeif, he's allowed to rub his hair. Umefasfeis, and he's allowed to separate his hair using his hands. Avaloi Sayrek, but he's not allowed to comb his hair, because combing his hair is definitely going to take out some hairs. That's Psik Resha, and even Reb Shimon will say it's Osa. But it says here that the Nozir is allowed to rub his hair with Neser and Choyl on Shabbos. And since we see that according to Reb Shimon, a Nozir is allowed to rub his hair with Neser and Choyl, if so, on Shabbos also a person should be allowed to rub his hair with Neser and Choyl. And why did the Braisa say Lo Yochuf Behem Sari? Elo, says the Gemara, no. Both Braisas, Ha V'ha Reb Yudahi. Both Braisas, one saying that Neser and Choyl is Mutar, and the other one saying Neser and Choyl is Osar, are both Reb Yehuda. Utrei Tanoya Libud Reb Yehuda. It's two Tanoim arguing about within Reb Yehuda. Hai Tana Libud Reb Yehuda Sovar. One Tana says that, in the name of Reb Yehuda, Gorir, that using Neser and Choyl would smoothen a kli. It would scrape it smooth, and therefore he says, according to Reb Yehuda, it's Asa. V'haytana libud Reb Yehuda, the other braisa, also in the name of Reb Yehuda, hol sova loy gor, he says that Neser and Choyl simply will not smooth down a silver kli. If so, there's no reason not to use it on Shabbos. But with one's hair, where it could theoretically take out some hairs, and even though it's Einem Iskaven, according to Reb Yehuda, Dovosh Einem Iskaven is Osir, and therefore everybody agrees, you're not allowed to use Neser and Choyl to rub one's hair on Shabbos, according to Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon will say it's Mutter, like he says, by Nozir. Continues the Gemara. B'mai Oikimta. So you're saying that the Braisa that says you're allowed to use Neser and Choyl to clean a silver kli on Shabbos, Reb Yehuda, it follows Reb Yehuda. Eima Seifa. But the Seifa of that very Braisa, what does it say there? That you're not allowed to rub your hair with Neser and Choyl. Avalponov Yodov Araglov Mutar. But you are allowed to rub your face and your hands and your feet with Neser and Choyl on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara Ma'aver Seir. On a person's face, he's also got hair. And how can you say that you're not allowed to wipe your head with it because you may remove some hairs because it's Reb Yehuda, but how can you wipe your face? Your face also has hairs on it. A person's beard, he could pull out some of his beard by using Neser and Choyl. Says the Gemara, Iboyseima b'kotten, it may be talking about a young child, a minor. V'iboyseima b'isha, maybe it's talking about a woman. V'iboyseima b'soris, or talking about somebody who has a different type of condition. Either way, these individuals all do not have beards, do not have facial hair. Since they do not have any facial hair, there's no issue with using Neser and Choyl to clean oneself on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda. Ofor Levenasa, powdered brick. Shori, you're allowed to use that to clean, to wipe your face, even if he has a beard. And we're not afraid that this powdered brick is going to take out any hairs. Omar Rav Yosef, Kuspa, pulp, the yasmin of sesame. Shori, also one is allowed to wipe oneself with this pulp, and we're not afraid it will pull out any hairs. Omar Rava, Ofor pilpili, the ground pilpilin, you're also allowed to use. Shori, it's mutter to wipe oneself with it, and we're not afraid that it will pull out any hairs. Omar Rav Sheshes, Barda Shori. Rav Sheshes says that one is allowed to use barda in order to clean one's face with it. Ask the Gemara, my barda, This barada that Rav Sheisha said is muta. What is it? What does it constitute? What's it made of? Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says tilsa, a third of it is ohala, a type of root of some grass called ohal. V'tilsa asa, and a third of it is some type of hadasim. V'tilsa sigli, and a third of it is a type of plant called sigli. And as long as you've got a third, a third, a third, if you're allowed to use it. If you have more than a third of ohala, then already it becomes much more coarse and it's able to pull out some hair and you're not allowed to use it. Omer of Nechemya Bar Yosef, Kol Heicha Deleka Ruba Ohala. Nechemya Bar Yosef argues and says that even if you have more than a third of ohala, providing you do not have more than 50% of the ingredients of this barada is ohala, Shapir Domi, we're not afraid it will pull out any hairs, and it's mutter to use it to wipe one's face with it, even if a person who has a beard, on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Bo minei Rav Sheishas. They asked Rav Sheishas the following question. Mau liftzoya zeisim b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to take olives and bruise them on Shabbos? You bang them against a wall, and they get bruised on Shabbos. Omer lahu Rav Sheishas answered them, v'chi b'choil mihitiru. Are you allowed to bruise and damage these olives during the week? Kasova mishum hefsed oichlim. Rav Sheishas obviously understood that the discussion here is whether one is allowed to destroy and be mafsid the food, the olives, and therefore he said not only on Shabbos is it osa, it's osa during the week as well. Leima pliga de Shmuel. Is Rav Sheishas arguing with Shmuel, the Oma Shmuel, because Shmuel held, Oysa Odom kol torkei bepas. You're allowed to use a loaf of bread or piece of bread for any of your needs, whatever you want to do with it. And if you can do whatever you want with it, then it would seem you're even allowed to do something with it that might be mafsid the pas. Because if you can use it for your needs, the bread is going to get mos, it's going to get destroyed. Omri, they said no. Pas leime isi. Bread does not get mos, does not get destroyed, does not get ruined, even if you use it for your own needs. Honey, but these olives, if you bruise them, me'isi, they do get destroyed, and therefore you're not allowed to be mafsid oichlim, not only on Shabbos, but even during the week. Continues the Gemara. Ameimer umar zutra v'rav Ashi have a yosva. These three chachomim, Ameimer, Marzutra, and Rav Ashi, were sitting together on Shabbos. Aysa lekamayu barda. And somebody brought some barada in front of them. Ameimim Rav Ashi moshu. Ameimim and Rav Ashi washed themselves with this barada. Mar Zutra loy mosho. Mar Zutra refused to wash himself with this barada. Omrule. Ameimim Rav Ashi said to Mar Zutra, loy sovar lo mar loho da omer of sheishes barada shori. Do you not agree with what Rav Sheishes said that you're allowed to wash yourself with barada on Shabbos? Omer lehu Rav Mordcha. Rav Mordcha answered to them, Bar minei de mar. It's nothing to do with Rav Sheishas. The reason that Mar Zutra did not want to wash himself with barada is not an issue to do with Rav Sheishas. Even without Rav Sheishas, even with Rav Sheishas, that wasn't the topic. Da'afilu b'choyol nami lois svirle. Mar Zutra wouldn't even have used barada to wash himself, even during the week, where there's no issue of pulling hairs out. Sovar lo kiha de tanya. Mar Zutra holds like the following braisa. We learnt that megarir odom, a person is allowed to scrape away gildi tzoya, the crust of some excrement, the gilde maka, or the crust of some wound, she'al basori, which is on his body, on his flesh, bishvil tzaroi, if he's because of discomfort, if he's uncomfortable with this crispy either tzoya or maka on his flesh, he's allowed to rub it down. In bishvil le'yapois, if he's doing it just in order to beautify himself, also you're not allowed to wipe yourself clean even during the week. Why? So Rashi says because it's typical for women to be very particular that they're all clean all the time, and for a man to do that, he's transgressing lo yilbash gever simlas isha. Ve'inu. But what did Rav Ashi and Ameimer, who did wipe themselves on Shabbos with this baradot, what did they hold? They hold Kaman Svuruah. Who did they hold like? Kihad Tanya, like the following brisa, Reichet Odom Ponov Yodov Raglov Bechol Yoim Bishil Koinoi. A person is allowed to wipe his face, his hands, and his feet every day. He should be all beautiful for Hashem's sake. Because of Hashem, Mishum Shenemar Kol Poal Hashem Lemanehu, everything can be used to serve Hashem, and it's appropriate to be particularly clean for Hashem. And Rashi explains there's two issues. Number one, a person is made Betzelem Elohim, and therefore a person should make sure that he's all the time clean, to be a clean Tzelem Elohim, and also that when people see other very beautiful people, they can make a bracha, Baruch Shekocha Loi Bo'i Lomoi, and it's a bracha to Hashem, and therefore this brisa holds that a person is allowed to make sure that all the time he's clean, and that's why a Amemer and Rav Ashi, they had no issue with wiping themselves with this barda on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Loza ben Azaria Oimer, Kupa Moto Al Tzida V'Noitil Shemo Yitil. We saw in the Mishnah that if a person was matmin, he put his pot into a box that was full of wool shearings, then you're only allowed to take the pot out if you tilt the box in a way that when you take out the pot, the cavity where the pot was is not going to get filled in. And we saw in the Mishnah that the Chachomim argued, and the Chachomim said that you can be noitel or machzir, that you can take the pot out and in of this cavity. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Rabbi Chiya Bar Ash Yomarav. Hakel Moidim, everybody agrees, Sheim Niskalkilo Haguma, if this cavity where the pot was in initially got destroyed, if the wool fell into the hole and now there's no longer a cavity for the pot, she'osa lahachzir, you're not allowed to put the pot back, because the only way to put the pot back would be by moving the wool shearings. The wool shearings are muktzah on Shabbos, and therefore you cannot put the pot back. Tanan, v'chachomim oimrim loitel umachzir. We saw in the Mishnah, as we just said, that according to the Chachomim, you can take the pot out, you can put it back, as if arguing with the Belozer ben Azaria. Asks the Gemara, Heichi Domi, in what case is it talking about? Idel lo niskalkala guma, in the event that the guma, that the cavity did not get destroyed, Shapir komri Rabbonon, then the Rabbonon, all right, of course you can put a pot in and out. Why are Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria arguing with that? It seems that Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria says you're not allowed to put a pot in and out, even if the cavity seems to remain in place. Elolav afal pitin is kalkula guma. It must be that according to the Chachomim, even if the guma, if the cavity got destroyed, they say you can take it out and put it back in. And it seems to be not like we said before, that if the cavity got destroyed, everybody agrees that you're not allowed to put the pot back. Says the Gemara, No, if the Chachomim say that you can put the pot back, it must be that the cavity did not get destroyed. The question is, if the cavity did not get destroyed, and that's what the Mishnah is talking about, why is Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria saying you're not allowed to take the pot in and out unless you tilt it in a certain position? The discussion, the argument is just whether we are afraid of the cavity getting filled. Marasova, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says, we're afraid that when taking out the pot, the cavity is going to get filled in, and then you won't be able to put the pot back, and there'll be an issue with mukta. And therefore they said, we do not allow you to take the pot out unless you tilt the whole box in a position where we can assume that the cavity will remain intact. Or Marasova, the Chachomim say, in Choshishin, we do not need to suspect and be afraid that the cavity is going to get destroyed, and therefore you just take out the pot carefully as it is and put it back in, providing the cavity remained intact. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna said the following halacha. Hai slikusta. Slikusta is a very beautiful and fragrant type of plant. Dotsa, if you want to insert it into the ground. Before Shabbos, you inserted it into the ground, shalfa, and you withdrew it, v'hodar dotza, and then you again inserted it into the ground, sharia, you're allowed to take it in and out on Shabbos, because since you've already taken it in and out a couple of times, the hole is big enough that you'll be able to remove it without necessarily removing any of the earth, which is mukta on Shabbos. V'ilav osr, but if you have not done this before Shabbos, taken it in, out and in, then we're afraid that if you do this on Shabbos, you're going to move the soil and it's mukta. And Rashi says we're not actually talking about putting this plant, preserving it in the ground. We're talking about a person who takes a kud, a jug, a barrel, some type of vessel, and he puts earth in it, and he wants to protect this plant by putting it into this earth. On Shabbos, he's only allowed to do it if the whole, if the earth is sufficiently loose before Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, a similar halacha to Rav Huna, says Shmuel, Hai Sakina, if you have a knife and you want to protect it by putting it, by stabbing it, putting it into a wall between two rows of bricks, and there's also some sand and cement type of substance between the two bricks, and they are also mukta. And if you're going to take this knife in and out on Shabbos, you'll inevitably be moving the mukta earth between the wall, between the lines of stones. So Shmuel says, that's Hai Sakina de Beina Urva, a knife that you want to put between a row of bricks, dotso, you insert it before Shabbos, shalfa, you remove it, v'hodar dotso, and you put it in again. If you do that before Shabbos, shari, it's mutter to take it in and out on Shabbos, and we're not afraid you're going to move any of the earth. The hole is sufficiently big, and it's all, everything is loose enough that you can take it in and out on Shabbos. V'ilav, but if you did not put it in, out, and in before Shabbos, also then it's also. Mazut Ravitei Mirvashi Omar Begurdiso Dekoni, if you want to put a knife in between a closely clustered set, a bunch of reeds, and you want to put the knife in order to protect it, Shapir Domi, you're allowed to do that. We're not afraid that by putting the knife in, you're going to rub away and smooth some of these reeds, which would be again Memachik, which is also on Shabbos. We're not afraid of that, and you're allowed to put a knife into a cluster of reeds on Shabbos. Omar le Rav Mordecha le Rabba. Rav Mordecha said to Rabba, and he's now going to comment on the halacha of Rav Huna and Shmuel, who said that if you put either the grass or the knife in, out and in to the earth or the sand before Shabbos, it's mutter to do it on Shabbos. Masiv Rav Katina Tiufta, it seems to be there's a contradiction to this from a Braisa. We learnt in the Braisa, Hatoimein Lefes Utsnoinois, if somebody wants to hide either a turnip or radishes in the ground before Shabbos, or we'll soon see which halachas this applies to, he wants to put into, to submerge a turnip or radish, Tachas Hagefen, in the ground under or in a grapevine, then im hoyo miktas alov megulim, providing that some of the leaves of either the turnip or the radishes are protruding on top of the ground, then if that's the case, and we'll soon see that you only need these leaves for Shabbos in order to be able to pull out the radish or the turnip on Shabbos, but for the other halachas we're about to mention, we don't even need that. It could be in totally submerged. We're not choshesh for any of the following halachas. Loi mishum kilaim. We know that you're not allowed to plant any vegetable in a grapevine, and just putting it into the ground and before Shabbos, when you're not intending to plant it there, you're intending just to preserve it there temporarily, there's no issa of kilaim. V'lei mishum shvies, it's not an issue with planting, which is osa in shmita. V'lei mishum maisa, and nor is there an issue of maisa if it grows a little bit, and in some cases, if you plant something even after you've taken maisa and then it continues growing again, you have to take maisa of the additional part that it grew. In this case, there's no issue of maisa since you didn't intend to plant it there. You just put it there temporarily. V'nitlin b'shabbos, and you're allowed to grasp hold of the leaves sticking up, and you're allowed to pull it out on Shabbos. If there's no leaves there, you're not allowed to dig your way around it because it's mukta. The earth is mukta, but if there are leaves sticking out, you're allowed to pull up the radishes or the turnips on Shabbos. And it's clear in this case that when you hold the leaves and you pull it up, that you're going to cause some of the earth around it to get moved to the side. And we're not worried about that. It's not called touching muktzah directly. If indirectly some of the muktzah falls apart, we're okay with that. And this seems to contradict the halacha of Rav Huna and Shmuel that say that this slikusta, or the sakina, the knife, you're only allowed to put it in and out of the earth or the wall if you know that you're not going to be moving any of the earth or any of the sand. Why is it different to what we just learned now with the lefes and the tznainos? Says the Gemara Tiufta, it's from here is a proof that both Rav Huna and Shmuel, the halacha has been refuted. And Emir Tzashem, in the next year, we're going to start the next Mishnah.